National Silver Company presents The Silver Theater. Starring Miss Helen Hayes in Stars in Their Courses. Brought to you in behalf of two of the greatest names in silverware, International Sterling, world-famous solid silver, and 1847 Rogers Brothers, America's finest silver plate. We're proud tonight to welcome back to Silver Theater that brilliant young actor of stage and radio, the director and star of the Mercury Theater of the Air, Mr. Orson Welles.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very glad to be on hand for another Silver Theater broadcast. In future weeks, when the show returns to Hollywood, you will hear such stars as Ginger Rogers, Clark Gable, and Betty Davis in stories by America's foremost authors. Tonight, we present the second and concluding episode of the Cosmopolitan magazine story, Stars in Their Courses, by I.A.R. Wiley, which has been especially adapted for Silver Theater by Charles Caswell. I feel sure that those who did not hear the first episode will be able to follow without any difficulty. And now our play is about to begin. The lights are being dimmed, and the silver curtain is rising on the concluding episode of Stars in Their Courses, with Helen Hayes as Jill Tennant, Carlton Young as Reese Tennant, and Morgan Farley as Paul Summers.
Oh, Winchell, this is Danny Myers up in Boston. Look, I got an exclusive for tomorrow's column. Lucille Leslie playing Juliet with Oscar Bergson Shakespearean Company at the Boston Opera House has a heart attack 10 minutes before curtain time. And who do you think steps in? Jill Tennant, the wife of Reese Tennant, who plays Romeo. Yeah. You know, Bergson says the only acting she's ever done was with some third-rate stock company. What, Walter? Oh, just a small-town girl who met Tennant in the sticks and married him quick and then traveled along as excess baggage. No, Walter, she ain't an actress, but, well, look, Bergson's got to have a Juliet. And listen, here's a wow. This dame don't want to act. She's only playing Juliet so her husband will get a break. Yeah, if he goes over tonight, Bergson takes him and the show into New York. You got it, Walter? Ain't that a honey of an angle? Hey, listen, the show's almost over now. I'll call you back. Waller, here's the payoff on that story from Boston. Jill Tennant stole the show. The audience is standing in the aisle yelling bravo and beach and Juliet. 16 curtain calls already, Waller. 16 what? Romeo? Just a stooge, Walter. Just a stooge.
Yes, darling. Good morning.
Where are you?
Over here by the window.
Oh, but now you're dressed.
Yes. Yes, I woke up early. No use lying in bed. Went out for the morning papers.
I didn't sleep much either. Have you read the reviews?
Yes, I have read them. They liked you, all of them. But they didn't care much for me.
Oh.
Well, what's the matter, darling? An actress shouldn't look so miserable just because she gets good notice.
Oh, Reese. Ever since last night, I've felt as if I'd cheated you. Done something disloyal, underhand.
What a reason in the world to feel that way, Jill.
Oh, I do. I can't help it. You've waited so long and worked so hard for this chance, and now I've spoiled everything for you. But I didn't mean to, Reese. You believe that, don't you? You don't think...
Of course, darling. It was just one of those things.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't be so cheerful about it. Why don't you make a scene? Get mad. Mad enough to break something. I'd feel better if you did.
It's all right, Jill. I'm proud of you.
No, I'm not. I hate myself.
Then you're hating a very famous person. Come on, get up and read your notices.
I don't want to read them.
Then I'll read them for you.
Oh.
They're educational. Did you know you were triplets? Well, you are. Juicy, Bernhardt, and Terry, all rolled into one.
Oh, how can they say such
things? Oh, it's downright slander, of course. I can prove you're lovelier than any one of them. Now, let me see.
Reese, please don't.
Here. Dayton Burns says, new and talented star Jill Tennant rose to shine gloriously at the Boston Opera House last night. Her unstudied simplicity, her authentic genius, her fragile beauty, well, it goes on from there and clouds it on even thicker.
Reese, I don't want to hear them.
And this is what he thought about me. Perhaps it would be a kindness to tell Mr. Tennant that a capacity to look like Romeo is not enough. Romeo...
Oh, stop, Reese. It's not true, any of it. I'm not an actress. I'm a stunt, a novelty, something they can make a story out of.
Now, here's what Peter Grimes of the Chronicle says.
Please don't read any more notices, Reese. What's the good? They're only hurting both of us.
Why should they hurt me?
Well, they do. I know they do. You can't pretend with me, Reese. You're being very brave. But after all the things we planned, New York and all that, it's almost like reading your own obituary.
Oh, Jill, I...
Come here, darling.
Oh, I've let you down so horribly.
Oh, no. It was I let you down. It was all my fault. You were used to Lucille. You didn't know what I might do next.
I tried. I tried so hard, Jill.
Oh, don't I know that, darling. And you gave a beautiful performance. You did, really. You'll get back in this tribe when you have Lucille in the part again.
Yes. Yes, who is it?
Bergson.
Oh, hand me that dressing gown, darling.
Here you are. Just a second.
All right. You can come in now.
Okay, Bergson.
Hello, Reese.
Hello.
Morning, Jill. Oh, excuse me, I hope I'm not interrupting.
Oh, that's all right. Sit down.
Oh, thanks.
Mr. Bergson, isn't there any chance of Lucille going back in the show tonight?
Not a chance in the world, Jill.
Then we lay off?
No, I can't afford the layoff.
But, Mr. Bergson, Reese can't go on again tonight like he did last night. It isn't fair to him. You can't expect him to work with just anybody. He's willing and obliging, but...
Now, look, children, this ain't easy for me to say, but this thing run into last night.
You don't need to stall, Bergson. Why don't you just say you've read the notices and that I'm fired?
Now, wait a minute, Reese.
Didn't you come to tell me that you don't want me to play the part tonight?
Well, yes, but you see...
Why don't you want Reese to play it, Mr. Bergson?
Now, look, Jill, I want to take the show into New York.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, the news will go on ahead to Broadway that they didn't like Reese in Boston.
But...
Bergson's right, Jill. The New York critics would be laying for us. We wouldn't have a chance.
All right. You don't want Reese. Who'll take his place?
Paul Summers.
Paul Summers?
Sure, he's played in New York before. The critics know him.
I see. Well, Paul does Romeo. Lucille's in the hospital. Who plays Juliet?
Why, you do, Jill.
I?
Yeah, don't you see it? It's a natural. Paul Summers had come back and Jill Tennant had discovered.
Oh, no, Mr. Bergson. You just count me out. You'll have to discover someone else. Last night was my first and last performance.
Oh, no, Jill, you can't do that. You've got to help us.
There's no got to about it. You haven't a contract with me. I'm not a member of your company. I'm simply Reese Tennant's wife. I don't want to be an actress. I don't want to play the part.
Yeah. Now I got a headache like never before. You know what this means? The show closes tonight, and the whole company is stranded in Boston.
Close for good?
What else can I do? And just because Jill don't want to act.
Oh, don't put it all on me. Before last night, you never even thought of me in the part. If we hadn't come to Boston, if Lucille hadn't got...
Say, what about Lucille?
Well, I guess you'll just be in hock at the hospital.
Oh.
If the show was going on, I could do something for her, but the show's closing.
Jill, we can't leave Lucille in a spot like this. I know you don't want to play the part, and I know why. It's because of me.
Oh, no, it isn't, Reese.
I know it is. So, look, forget all about me.
I know, Reese. Only, don't you see?
It's the show that matters, darling. The show and all the people in it. We haven't the right to upset their lives.
No, of course we haven't, Reese. Only, there must be some other way.
I'm afraid not, Jill.
Look, if the show closes, it'll be terrible for them. I know that. But don't you understand, Reese? If it goes on, it's going to be just as bad. Perhaps worse for us.
Maybe you're making it more serious than it is, Joe.
But, Reese, What about you?
Oh, I'll look out for Reese, Jill. He can understudy maybe and help the rest.
Sure. You see, darling, he's got me all set.
Yes. He seems to have us both all set.
Well, how about it, Jill?
I guess there's nothing else to do.
You played a part, you're opening New York?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Brixton. I'll open in New York.
Still wine waiter, I ordered champagne. Think of it, Paul. 26 curtain calls from a New York audience. And two critics congratulated me on the way out we're set for a run.
Jason, here comes your guest of honor.
Where? Oh, Jill. Jill, over here we are. Say, she a picture? Ain't she lovely?
Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Am I late?
Yeah, just 20 years too late, Jill. If I'd had you for a star when I went in show business, I'd be living now on Park Avenue and giving away polo ponies for Christmas cards. Sit down, everybody. Here, Jill, you at the head of the table, Paul, you next.
Thanks, Gregson. Where's Reese tonight, Jill?
Oh, he'll be along shortly. He told me before the show not to wait for him.
How's he taking it? You know, it's pretty tough to sit on the wrong side of the footlights, watching someone else get the applause.
Reese isn't like that. Did you see him in the right-hand box during the show?
No, I didn't notice.
Even if I hadn't seen him, I'd have felt him there, helping me, encouraging me. And then when it was over, he stood up and applauded so loudly that everybody was looking at him.
Sure, he's bound to feel some jealousy, Jill.
You're wrong, Paul.
You don't know show business.
You don't know Reese. Reese is big. Ask Burson, who's really responsible for the show coming into New York at all. Now, come on, let's try and enjoy this party.
All right. Attention, everybody, please.
Jill.
What? Oh, yes, George?
Reese asked me to give you this note.
Oh, well, thanks, George.
I offer a toast to the newest and greatest Julian of our time. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Oscar Bergson's own discovery and Broadway's newest star, Jill Tennant.
Oh, George.
Well, George is gone.
Well, what's the matter, Jill? Bad news?
Nothing. Nothing, Paul.
Now let's hear from Jill Tennant herself. Come on, Jill.
Jill.
Jill. Yes. Yes, Paul.
They want you to say something.
No, there's nothing to say.
Jill, you've got to get hold of yourself. Put on a front. Give them a performance. You must do it.
Yes. Yes, Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what to say, except this is the happiest night of my life.
Dearest Jill.
The happiest night of my life.
Dearest Jill, I want to preface this note by saying I love you.
What more could I ask than the applause of a great audience?
I'm going out of your life, Jill. You don't need me now.
What more could I ask? Wanting to feel I haven't let down my friend.
I waited to be sure you and the show were a success.
What more could I wish than praise from the critics? My name is lights on Broadway.
You're wonderful, Jill. I'm so proud of you.
You people sitting at this table, you're the ones who are responsible for tonight. I have you to thank.
You'll do so much better alone, darling.
You can see I'm crying. Oh, that's because I can't express my gratitude to you in words.
I just feel dragged, Jill, holding you back.
But I do thank you. Thank you all. Mr. Bergson and Paul Summers and the rest of the company.
So I'm stepping out of the picture.
And the musicians and the stagehands. They must be thanked.
Goodbye, darling.
And all of you. All of you who've done so much for me. The theater's done so much for me. And I'm so grateful. And so happy. So very happy.
We You've just heard the first act of the concluding episode of Stars in Their Courses, starring Helen Hayes. Now, in a few seconds before the curtain rises on Act Two, is a young man who would like to explain the reason behind a countrywide enthusiasm. Ralph Edwards.
Women everywhere are enthusiastic about 1847 Rogers Brothers' newest pattern, First Love. And so will you be when you see it. For as a climax to 90 years of working in silver plate, 1847 Rogers Brothers have developed a new technique, a way to apply the secret of sterling silver craftsmanship to finest silver plate. First Love is the sensational result, a pattern whose lovely floral ornament is deeply etched and raised in high relief. Visit your silverware dealers tomorrow and ask to see the Silver Theater set, a truly magnificent 62-piece service in First Love and other 1847 Rogers Brothers patterns. It comes in a handsome rosewood chest, lined to prevent tarnish, and can be yours for $59.75, a saving of more than $14 over open stock price. Let your silverware dealer tell you about the easy, convenient terms that will make this gorgeous service yours to own, or yours to give for Christmas. Silver plate, with the design authority of America's great craftsmen, 1847 Rogers Brothers.
The lights are being dimmed again, and the silver curtain is rising on the final act of Stars in Their Courses, starring Helen Hayes as Jill Tennant. Reese has vanished, and Jill presents a brave front to the world while trying to hide the emptiness of her life without him. But the memory of his voice saying, "I love you, Jill," is still more real to her than the shrill chorus of autograph hunters, celebrity worshippers, and all those satellites who inevitably surround stars in their courses.
Wonderful performance.
Marvelous notices.
Perfect poise.
Sensational ability.
Will you head our star list for the benefit, Miss Tennant?
Yes.
Will you speak at our convention, Miss Tennant?
Yes.
This gown, may we name it for you, Miss Tennant?
Yes.
Will you read my new play, Miss Tennant?
Yes.
Your endorsement, Miss Tennant?
Yes.
May we quote you, Miss Tennant?
Yes.
Your picture, Miss Tennant?
Yes.
Your autograph, Miss Tennant?
Yes.
Hello, Jill.
Hello, Mr. Gerson. Come in.
Thanks.
You look worried.
Well, I am, maybe.
What about?
You.
Why me?
You're losing something, Jill.
You don't have to tell me that.
You're not the actress I bought in the New York a season ago. This new show won't run a month. From out front, it looks like you're walking in your sleep, Mandy. What's the matter?
It might be, but I just don't care.
But you got to care.
Why should I?
That's no answer, Jill.
The best one I can think of.
Look, you got what every young actress in the country would give a life teeth for.
My name and life? Can you take those lights home with you when the curtain's gone down and the show's over? The written compliments of critics? They're fine to start a blaze in the fireplace, but there's not much warmth in them. Not half as much as someone you care about saying, "Good night, darling," or "Good morning," or "I love you."
Well, Jill, if you keep on like this, you'll throw away your whole career.
My career? I won't miss that. All I miss, all I'll ever miss, is this.
What the devil's the matter with you, Jill? This makes two failures in a row.
I'm sorry, Paul. Maybe next time.
Now, Miss Tennant, have you and Bergson called it quits?
Oh, just for the time being. You see, I didn't think the part in his new play suited me.
Hello, Jill. Remember me?
Of course, Lucille Leslie.
It's been a long time since we trooped together. How's Reese?
I don't know, Lucille. He went away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You haven't seen him? Or heard anyone speak of him?
No, I haven't, Jill, but I'll ask around.
Will you, Lucille? Thanks a lot.
Yes, Miss Tennant?
I heard you were casting for a new show and...
Sorry, the cast is all filled.
Oh, I see. Well, thanks just the same. Now, look, Jill, we're both running to the shore. Why can't we share a room to save rent?
It'll have to be a cheap room, Lucille.
That's the only kind I'm used to. By the way, Bergson's doing a new play. Why don't you stop in?
If Bergson wanted me, he'd send for me.
But
I'll go to see him anyway.
Hello, honey. You're late.
Where have you been?
Down at Bergson's office. He was busy. I had to wait.
Did you have any lunch?
No. I forgot about it.
Oh, I'll bet you're tired to death.
Oh, it wasn't so bad. His secretary let me read the new play.
It'll be a hit, all right. Anything in it for you?
There's one part I know I could do. But I won't be doing it.
Well, why not? Did you ask Bergson for it?
Yes.
And he turned you down? That's gratitude for you.
It isn't Bergson, Lucille. It's Paul Summers.
So what's he got to do with it?
He's playing the lead. And he says he won't risk working with me again. I've had too many failures.
Oh, he does he? Wait till I see Mr. Summers.
Oh, I guess Paul's right, Lucille. I am a bad risk. I'm at the bottom of the hill. I'll never climb back up again.
Oh, now, Jill.
It's true. Funny, isn't it? When I honestly didn't want to be an actress, Bergson, all the rest of them insisted that I had to act. And now, when I'd be glad of anything, even a walk-on job, they don't think I'm good enough.
Well, why don't you go out to your folks, Jill, for a rest?
Oh, no, I couldn't do that. It's too far away. Suppose Reese came looking for me. Oh, no, I've got to stay in New York. Keep myself going.
All right. Only look now, before we both bust out crying, what about dinner?
That's fine. What are we going to use for money?
You're broke, so that's why you forgot lunch. Well, I have a quarter.
That won't go far.
No, but we eat just the same. Ever hear of the Actors' Dinner Club?
Yes, it's a sort of decent charity, isn't it?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Those who can pay $1 for a 50-cent meal, and the broke ones get the other 50 cents worth. No one knows who pays and who doesn't. Put on your best clothes and a swagger, and they'll think
you don't care what anybody thinks, Lucille. I'm past that. There haven't any swagger left. Come on. We'll eat at the Actors' Dinner Club and be glad there is such a place.
Crowded. Oh, here's some seats. Let's sit here.
All right.
Oh, there's Mabel Downing. I haven't seen her in months. Wait a minute. I'll be right back, Jill. Hold my chair.
Hello, Jill.
Reese.
I saw you come in. May I sit down here?
It's Lucille's chair.
Yes, Lucille saw me. She knew I'd want to. Oh, Jill, it's so good to see you again. How are things?
Oh, just fine, Reese.
Working?
No, I'm rehearsing.
Something good, I hope.
Oh, yes, I'm sure it'll run for years.
Oh, that's great. Nice part?
Oh, a marvelous part. Right in my line.
I'm so glad, Jill.
Yes, it's exactly my type. I play a destitute actress, grateful for a free meal at the Actors' Dinner Club, and pretending to a former husband I'm a huge success. Perfect casting, don't you think?
Jill, that isn't funny.
No, it's deadly serious. Well, I've forgotten what a rehearsal looks like. Or how a backstage smells. I'm down and out, Reese. Down at the heel.
Jill, I didn't know.
Well, everyone else does. Where have you been, not to know?
Out west. I tried to keep track of you. The last I heard, you were on Broadway.
One Night Stand came after that.
Bad luck.
Bad acting.
I don't believe it.
It's true, just the same. I didn't mean to tell you all this, but it sort of scores things, doesn't it? You see, now I know how you felt in Boston. I know what I did to you.
You didn't do a thing, Joe. I was a rotten actor. I realized how bad I was the night I watched you and Summers on that opening in New York.
I saw you standing in the back of the box applauding. You started the cheering, too.
I was so proud of you. I told you that in my notes.
Then why did you go away, Reese?
I went haywire, I guess. You'd already found out I was a second-rate actor. I was afraid if I stuck around, you'd begin to think I was a second-rate husband.
When you left,
The curtain went down, and the play was over. I tried to raise the curtain again, but it wouldn't go up without you. And I couldn't act because I didn't care anymore.
Jill, you're going to care again. You're going to act again.
No. No, really.
Listen, Jill. I've found out that I do have a place in the theater. I can't act, but I can write plays. Bergson's taken one of them, although he doesn't know I wrote it, and it goes into rehearsal next week.
The play Bergson's doing is your play?
You've read it?
I cried over it.
It's our story, Jill. And the part's yours. I wrote it for them.
Paul Summer said he wouldn't work with me.
Paul's right about that, because I won't let him. This is one character he'd never understand.
But Broadway, the critics, the audiences, they've forgotten all about me, Reese. You must have a great star to play the girl.
I want you, Jill. For the play and for myself. We both need you. If you'll stick with us, and please, please, Jill, say you will, we'll show Broadway the greatest play and the two happiest people of the season, or any season.
Please, don't make me cry. Everybody's looking. You think you're abusing me.
Then they must be blind. If they were really looking, they'd see I'm just a man in love.
Darling.
What would happen if I leaned over and kissed you?
I don't know. Probably all the waiters would drop their dishes.
Would they? Let's find out.
Yes, darling.
And so the curtain falls on Stars in Their Courses, starring Miss Helen Hayes. In just a minute, Miss Hayes will come before the silver curtain to meet you as herself. But first, I'd like you to hear from a young man who has news of an unusual opportunity. Ralph Edwards.
A few minutes ago, I spoke to those of you who either do own or would like to own the finest silver plate, 1847 Rogers Brothers silver plate. Now I'd like to say a few words to you who have always wanted sterling silver, solid silver. Like beautiful furs and rare perfumes, sterling silver has an aura of luxury that makes it seem far beyond your means. Actually, sterling silver is not as expensive as you think it is. For example, International Sterling has one set as low as $16.75. It's called a me-to-you set and is a place setting for one person. Six distinctive pieces of solid silver created in the exquisitely lovely Enchantress pattern. When you see it at your silverware dealers, I know you'll be so thrilled by its luster and beauty that you'll want a set not only for yourself, but also one to give for Christmas. And you'll find other larger services of International Sterling also well within your reach. A 30-piece set in a handsome velvet-lined chest costing less than $100. But ask your silverware dealer to show you all the International Sterling patterns, to give you all the details, and to tell you about the convenient budget payment plan that makes it so easy for you to own solid silver of enduring beauty by International Sterling. And now, Mr. Orson Welles has something to say to you.
I just want to have your star, Miss Helen Hayes, take a much-deserved curtain call. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the theater's most brilliant dramatic star, the one and only Miss Helen Hayes in person.
Thank you, everyone. I hardly know what to say, except that, well, what I said earlier in the play is really true now. This is one of the happiest nights of my life.
Dearest Helen, I want to preface this note by saying I loved your performance.
What more could I ask? After all, than the applause of a great audience.
Perhaps a vacation from Victoria Regina.
You people listening at the radios, you're the ones who are responsible.
Why, I stood in the back of the store and watched you pick out that sterling silver yourself.
It's you I have to thank, and I do thank you. Thank you all, and especially you, Mr. Carlton Young and Mr. Morgan Farley, because you were both grand, really grand.
You'll do better without me, you see.
I'm just a drag on you, holding you back, talking to you about sterling silver.
Well, Orson Welles, it's silver worth talking about. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give International Sterling for Christmas. It's the most acceptable gift I can think of.
And now, I'm stepping out of your life.
And I'm stepping away from the microphone. Good night, everybody, and thank you, all of you.
Next week at the same time, Silver Theater returns to Hollywood to bring you Ginger Rogers in a thrilling tale of ships and intrigue. The Captain Had a Daughter. Conrad Nagel returns as director, and Felix Mills will again conduct the orchestra. Helen Hayes is currently playing a return engagement of Victoria Regina in New York. Orson Welles is heard later this evening in the weekly broadcast of the Mercury Theater of the Air. Original music on tonight's broadcast was scored and conducted by Mark Warnow. Ralph Edwards speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.